am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing
conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, October 1st, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. And so jumping back in to yesterday, kind of picking up where we left off, you got this crafty, cunning foe who masquerades as an angel of light. Always, of course. That's the best strategy, and people don't realize that's what's going on, which is kind of, I don't know. It's not surprising. This, you know, we have a Machiavellian stratagem that has been employed for quite some time, but again, people don't pay attention to these kinds of things. We have operations other than war that are actively being employed, that are being used on the American public. And, you know, I think some people are really starting to finally wake up and smell the coffee and see that. I mean, one of the things that's really kind of astonishing to me, the way that we start perhaps with some Thomas Sowell quotes about that. Thomas Sowell, some of his best. It takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance. Amen to that. He's made that point with regard to academics too, similar to what Chamath Palihapitiya said at the Stanford School of Business, when he said, "You guys are the most susceptible. These people, you know, that highly educated because of their." Well, indoctrination, if we could call it that in many cases, and you know, the confirmation bias, the bandwagon effect. I keep wanting to say, ever heard of the bandwagon effect? You know, Chris, could all of the experts be wrong? Well, you know, what if you had a few people who had a nefarious agenda who were infecting all the rest of you with a mind virus that then they were sort of relying on you to spread or to propagate that mind virus, and you were unaware of that. You know, I think your question is a little oversimplified. Maybe we need to dig into the nuance a little bit and see that, yes, I mean, in simple terms, yes, the experts could all be wrong. If you want me to answer your oversimplified question directly, yes, it's possible that these people you call experts can be wrong because most of them aren't reading. You know, most of them are putting their faith in these, you know, higher ups, so to speak. They're basically putting their faith in the chain of command. Because who was it that called a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, is it possible to read anything and not be scratching your head? And my answer is no, it's not possible to read anything and not be scratching your head, not see all of the glaring inconsistencies. And then if you are interested in digging a little deeper, you should arrive at, you know, a crossroads with this historical account, basically, of particularly what we've seen over the course of the 20th century and especially the World War II era. And, I mean, you come away with this perspective that these guys who were responsible for some atrocities on a massive scale were media darlings initially. You know, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, all-time man of the year. And then, oh my goodness, he's killing people. And that's what happens, though, with this planning. You know, we got all these pesky people, some of whom might be able to get it figured out. You know, the academic clique, we got to get rid of them all because they kind of know where the bodies are buried and they might be able to reason things out for themselves. And we can't have any of that, so we could have a massive purge. Then we got to get rid of a bunch of the useless eaters too. Funny how it's always something along those lines. So first they're, you know, the darling, and then, you know, then the mass genocide starts. Oh, and then there's the issue of, you know, they were put up to it by international industrialist cartels. As guys like Ivy Lee have told us. So you have those kinds of things. And, you know, how did this happen when you start digging into the mechanics of it? Milton Mayer writes they thought they were free. You know, and in the backdrop of this, again, you have that guy who wrote the book Faust, who says that none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. So Milton Mayer, brilliant title, they thought they were free. Germans, 1933-45. You know, broken lives, how ordinary Germans experienced the 20th century, ordinary men, et cetera, et cetera. And so you fast forward from they thought they were free and Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here, obviously, in 1935, to, and that was before World War II, which was completely fomented, contrived, which again goes back to the Quigley's Anglo-American establishment saying as much. You know, the book description says that. Quigley outlines the secret societies started in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes, and these little roundtable groups were created to control the world, and they, you know, all the wars from that time were created to control the world. We've had lots of conflict ever since then. Things getting better. These people that say peace, peace. You know, it kind of reminds you of the Bible. So you have this character that always comes in pretty packaging. These guys are really good at that. And but there's a point here. You know, all of this sounds kind of obvious or self-evident or whatever. You know, 2 Corinthians 11. I suppose, you know, verse 13 through 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It always, that's the good reason, as Alan Watt used to say. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. And I think it's easy to get target fixated or conflate things. And what I mean is, so, you know, we listened yesterday to one of the first things that we listened to was Victor Gill from the Trinidad and Tobago Response, Bishop Dr. Victor Gill, if you will. So Victor Gill was talking about the, you know, understanding the New World Order. Man's problem is not his separation from man. Man's problem is his separation from God. Absolutely. So it's important to bear in mind, especially in these trying times, that just as man cannot fix what ails him by himself, he cannot perfect himself, neither does he battle against himself, Ephesians chapter 6. In other words, just as the New World Order plans to unite the world, reveal ultimate evil and the character of Satan, if you will, also the ultimate good of the Creator of all things, and his Son, Jesus Christ, that's also revealed. And therefore, we realize in all of that, man cannot save himself and he needs God. And we, you know, again, Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. But the point is, you know, when you start to see that, I mean, if that's really what's happening, and how else do you describe these things? You know, people genuinely believing that what they're doing is a good thing. But, you know, that's kind of why I've tried to focus for some period of time recently, saying, you know, the Bible says we're either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ, and you are not really your own person. When you think you are, you're fooling yourself. So the art of persuasion, influence and persuasion, is, you know, tantamount to deception. It's the Machiavellian way. And you know what? Maybe I'll just jump to solutions right now, and because it's Friday. Usually Friday is supposed to be kind of light, so, and reflective, perhaps. So phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. If you have free long distance, 512-248-8252. I know we missed Fred yesterday. I don't know who else we missed off the top of my head. And if you don't have free long distance, 800-313-9443. But that one costs the network, so use that one sparingly if you must, but use it sparingly. So, you know, this sort of hints at solutions. I only say that, what I said, in an effort to sort of temper our response to one another. Because if we realize that truly we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's interesting. Then we have grace and mercy for one another. We realize that this is, and I would say this is an unprecedented age of deception. Deception is the order of the day. And you can see how William Casey's words are actually coming to fruition now. We will know our disinformation campaign is complete when everything the American public believes is false. And you can hear that. I watched a man on the street interview about the 2A that John Lovell did, the Warrior Poet Society guy. And everything everyone says is in a tiny little box. Everyone's in a tiny little box. No one's actually read anything for themselves. No one can quote the Second Amendment. We should all be able to do that. That should be, you know, if voting were not an administrative fourth branch activity, then you shouldn't be able to vote until you can quote from memory from our founding documents. That should be, you know, shouldn't that be rule number one? Maybe that should go into that three rules that I did, that post that I did. What did I title that? I forget what I even titled that. Three simple rules, something like that. I think it was how to fix Congress. Yeah, how to fix Congress, January of this year. So the three simple steps to fix Congress, you know, in the picture of Plato's allegory of the cave, shadows dancing on the wall. How to fix Congress, no more digital documents, no more prepared remarks, and before every major election, all voters must watch C-SPAN for at least 30 and preferably 60 days prior to election day, and time watched is not regulated except that C-SPAN watching must equal or exceed all other TV watched. In other words, if you watch a two-hour movie, you have to watch at least 2 hours of C-SPAN. Maybe I should add a fourth point to that, that you know, you have to demonstrate a literacy and a competency of founding documents. I was waiting for the person, you know, that John asked. So you know the Second Amendment? Yeah. And the one guy did have a valid point, you know, that it was a conditional phrase, but John's rebuttal was also valid. And you know, basically Monroe on who is the militia. And but this guy was saying, you know, it's a conditional, you need to make sure that, you know, the Second Amendment is, you know, it states that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That's the part that he was talking about that they didn't get to. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, you know, and all of this stuff is being sort of warped and perverted, and you see it in the media, and that was all foreshadowed in things like the Rand Corporation's advent of net war. Those guys are interesting characters. John Arquilla in particular is an interesting character. We have to know what your enemy is. You have to think like your enemy because, well, I mean, at some point, don't you just sort of turn into the enemy when that's all you think about is you seem like a paranoid schizophrenic. And you're kind of, you know, it's funny that everything that your paranoid, delusional rants always come to fruition in lie-hop, high-hop, my-hop sort of fashion. That's also a curious harbinger, if you will. That's a tangent. I digress. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
Welcome back.
Until you use me up.
Alan Watt, you know, the clip that we played recently talked about how man is the most studied thing ever. You know, man has been studied, and you listen to what some of these guys say from time to time. Some know, some don't, but you know, there's just been this effort, man, to comb through all of the information throughout all recorded history and to curate the best ways and techniques to manipulate man and to refine and enhance those techniques. And you know, when you start to realize that, and that there's a character that is sort of leading that charge, it seems kind of hopeless. You know, that's why we talk about crying out to God and appealing to the, you know, God of heaven, the I don't know what the founders would, you know, the God of providence or whatever term, you know, just understanding that there's this battle, and it's not a new thing. I mean, you go back historically, for example, at the crucifixion of Christ, you have these folks around that you could say, you know, the situation is very similar to the situation regarding COVID-19, so-called, where you have folks who are acting as the enforcement brigade, who are beguiled and misled, genuinely think that they're doing something, you know, helpful at some level, though that's a nuanced discussion in itself, I think. But Jesus says from the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Who is he talking about? I wonder, you know, these people are basically put up to this. They're the devil's errand boy, and doing something they think they believe in. So, you know, this is kind of where it comes down to. I've mentioned Aldous Huxley talking, you know, Timothy Leary quoting Aldous Huxley saying, you know, we got to get rid of the Bible. It's that pesky thing that is really slowing us down. Thomas Henry Huxley, Darwin's bulldog, you know, this is a generational old school bad guy issue. These guys know what they're doing. He said something similar. The Bible has been the Magna Carta of the poor and oppressed. The human race is not in a position to dispense with it. And so they've been trying to wrest that from the people for a long time. There's that book, The Union Jack, I mentioned from time to time, and Helen Peters, Nom de Plume, talking about more deceptively, however, they have added the dimension of feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity. That was in 1970. I think it was published in 70 or 71. And I don't think that applies just to stratagem of fundamental Christianity. You can argue that feigned persecution is at the heart of cultural Marxism, I think. It's easy to argue that feigned persecution is at the heart of cultural Marxism. And that's a longer discussion in itself. Tyler O'Neill wrote some interesting stuff over at PJ Media a while ago. For example, how C.S. Lewis predicted today's college campus craziness in 1944. In Lewis's The Abolition of Man, which is, you know, calls to mind the Fukuyama Huntington stuff that I've mentioned lately. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. All right. Solutions. You know, how to fix Congress was the article. How to fix America. That's, I finally finished that today. Just simple, you know, five simple things. And to sort of hint at that, you know, again, grace and mercy for one another, realizing that there is a battle being waged in the nether realms, basically beyond our physical sight, so to speak. Andrew Jackson, just the last kind of point to punctuate this. If anybody could argue that he was a self-made man, I think Andrew Jackson could make that argument. And even he was very emphatic when you look at his correspondence. You know, guys like Lincoln, same thing. But on 9/11, 1834, Andrew Jackson wrote a letter to his son Andrew, Andrew Jr., and he wrote, "I nightly offer up my prayers to the throne of grace for the health and safety of you all, and that we ought all to rely with confidence on the promises of our dear Redeemer and give him our hearts. This is all he requires and all that we can do. And if we sincerely do this, we are sure of salvation through his atonement." And, you know, this I think characterizes his sentiment in that regard generally. Again, a guy who could, I think if anybody could make the argument that he was self-made, it was this guy. And I think he made it evident that he relied on his creator for his decision making and in all things. And so that just struck me. I mean, I was thinking about that yesterday, how many of us these days in these trying times are really, you know, what are our idols? Where are we spending or investing our time, and what are our preoccupations, if you will? And are we doing these kinds of things? You know, we are in the middle of an interesting struggle and challenging times. So to the phones, I guess we lost John for the moment. John, feel free to call back. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning. You were talking yesterday when you were playing a clip about babies. I can't remember in what way, something about, but it made me think, my sister had sent me an article or a video. Did you see it?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I thought you might find it interesting because you're always talking about transhumanism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for your listeners if they want to look it up. It's on BitChute, and the title is On Pandemic Babies, and then parentheses, Quinta Columna. I don't know. I can't speak Spanish to save my life. React. So it's a woman. Baby born to a woman who received the shot while pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play it on the radio because she cusses, but I think she's like, you know, if I would have had, she said she had three other children or something, but she said this one's like amazing. This baby looks creepy in the picture.
Yeah.
And it's short because if you pass by all the verbiage and all the language, they're speaking in Spanish, you can understand that anyway. Go to the 423 mark, and it's really short.
Mm.
And she goes on a rant about how super special this baby is, and that she would have only had one, I think she knows, but it would be enough for something. Anyway, so, the baby's eyes looks like very alert, but kind of soulless somehow. I can't even explain it. It's creepy. Anyway, and then I was told or reminded or something that there's some news out there that once you have a baby that is GMO or mRNA or whatever, that, and I looked it up, the Supreme Court can, you can patent it so they can control it, the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's kind of the way and everything. I mean, that's the push and everything. If you can put this information in something that you have written, basically this code that you've written. So for, you know, automobiles, I mentioned that recently, how automobiles are supposed to come with a EULA, now an end user license agreement, and it's mostly software, so you can't actually own the automobile. You will just lease it, kind of like you lease software. Software as a service, SaaS kind of stuff.
They've gone too far with this one.
So, really, you know, with children too, and with all things, if we can put code in it, then hey, you know what? We can argue that it's mostly kind of an operating system, and we own the operating system.
Yeah, it's just so sad because this baby's really cute. But all babies are cute, aren't they?
Well, so, you know, so moms say, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, this one's cute. And the mom, she just has this really weird attitude, like, don't judge me, you know, don't even sit next to me unless you have a baby like this. I'm like, does she have remorse? She's trying to, seems like she's trying to talk herself into thinking she did something great. Anyway, that's the vibe I got off of her. But during your next break, if you're interested, you can watch it. It's really short.
Interesting. So Quinta Columna is fifth column, Spanish for fifth column. So.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Which kind of makes you go,
You know,
fifth column, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
What is that for?
Right.
Typically, anyway, the fifth column is the one that is used to, you know, speaking of Spanish, it's kind of ironic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I say things, I overpronounce things. People would laugh at me if I tried to speak that language. I mean, you know, really concise, but that's not how they say it. I don't have the accent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, so you were the first one I thought to send it to because you talk about, like I said, transhumanism all the time, and now we're starting to see.
Well, when I was talking about babies yesterday, I think it was in the context of the vaccine and how I mentioned that, you know, now all of a sudden the CDC says, oh, no, pregnant mothers definitely get vaccinated, which, you know, historically is sacred ground. That's something that you don't do, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, you're not supposed to smoke or drink alcohol, but you can inject untested things, and no, it's tested. Oh, yeah. I mean, the people that say it's tested and it's safe that are regurgitating propaganda, it's just foolish. You know, there are no long-term studies. And again, I would go back to Fauci saying early last year, I think, what was it, March, late March? I talked about it at the time when the folks in Seattle were. They were the first test cases, and they had to sign something that said that they wouldn't try to have children because we didn't know what the long-term effects were. And now pregnant moms are supposed to get this stuff. And that was like, you know, 18 months ago. So it's
horrifying. Well, if the baby can even be viable, right? So maybe she's in, I don't know how that works, but take a stab at it. Maybe she's GMO'd somehow and she doesn't, you know, she eats a lot of GMOs, so therefore she's able to sustain a pregnancy. I don't know. I'm just saying. You know,
that's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, if you listen to the experts who are not on the take, so to speak, they talk about the issue that I have harped on for the last couple of days, the two sides of the ADE coin, the antibody dependent enhancement coin, and, you know, passing, basically, you know, you listen to someone like Dr. Stephanie Seneff, who says all of these GMO frankenfood things and stuff that we're putting in the environment and in our bodies are what is responsible predominantly, you know, glyphosate in particular, and then some of this other stuff. You know, glyphosate is kind of a catalyst. Are responsible for all of the major chronic health problems that we experience in the Western world. You know, basically the Western diet that is sort of centers around like GMO corn and Roundup Ready stuff that's engineered to be resistant to Roundup so they can overspray it as crop desiccant, things like that. And so you apply that line of thinking to a pregnancy and how folks like Stephanie Seneff are saying that basically that is, you know, those things, those toxins essentially are engineering in the fetus lifelong sickness, then you kind of take that line of thinking and apply it to the vaccine stuff, the COVID vaccine, especially the mRNA stuff, and based on what the, you know, the experts like Geert VandenBosch are saying, it's a ticking time bomb in a child. You know, there are the ADE issues, there's the myocarditis issue, and a number of others that you're basically kind of engineering in a child and making them a ticking biological time bomb. That's what I understand it to be anyway.
I'd be interested if you have a minute after, you know, when you go on break, just to look at this baby and, you know, tell us your thoughts, because, and the mother's attitude and what your thoughts are. And because she seems like she's trying to convince herself she did a good thing, but I think she knows deep down she didn't. So probably, you know, not, I haven't watched you in a long time, but, I mean, not to be off base or anything, but, you know, remember that show or that movie Chucky or something? I don't know. I'm just, it's just bizarre. You just don't know. I mean, if they can control this child in different ways, you know, thoughts and, like I said, the eyes look really weird. What do you think this child could be capable of? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who knows? All right, Chris? And we know that guys like Kurzweil and others have written about perfecting the, you know, the brain machine interface. And again, I mean, the age of spiritual machines. Direct neural pathways have been perfected from the internet to the brain is what Kurzweil predicted for by 2029. So.
All right, Chris. Well, appreciate you taking my call. Have a good weekend, okay?
Thanks, Rhonda. You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So, yeah, these are interesting times, and it seems that, I mean, how else do you explain, you know, generational evil and those kinds of things? Even guys like Jordan Peterson say, when you talk about this kind of evil on this kind of scale, especially with the deception that we're seeing, I mean, people genuinely believe in some cases the things they say. I mean, there is the element of, you know, the servile sycophantic sort of mindset that seeks to gravitate toward power to protect itself, you know, a self-preservative sort of mindset that runs some of that. But I think there are people who, in my experience, you know, in talking to folks and watching some things, it's kind of a combination of hypnotic trance and they believe what they're saying. So, very convincing. It's a strange thing. Again, that 2A video of John Lovell talking to folks on the street in Atlanta, Georgia about the Second Amendment. Very interesting. And just the talking points that people come up with, you know, reminds you of, things like Bertrand Russell writing about this stuff in books like The Impact of Science on Society, telling us that people will not be allowed to know where their convictions are generated, where these little idioms come from, but they regurgitate them very effectively. It's an astonishing thing to see. And would it be curious, you know, if someone saw a video of that, you know, of themselves interviewed along with, say, 30 other people who are saying exactly the same thing and these people don't know each other? Wouldn't it be food for thought? Wouldn't it be something that would give you cause to perhaps pause and reflect? I wonder how this is happening. How is it that we're saying exactly the same thing? And if that's happening, I mean, is that a good thing? Again, maybe we should revisit the bandwagon effect and realize that it is a form of logical fallacy. And there are many cases, many times when everyone's going this way, that doesn't end well. And we have evidence of that even in our own contemporary history. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back.
Final segment of the first hour this Friday. I do want to talk about solutions. I will do that. How do we fix America? So I wrote that post in January, How to Fix Congress. I really think that would do it, honestly. No more digital documents, i.e. proposed legislation introduced into the House or Senate. In other words, all new bills are handwritten, and preferably by the constituents themselves, or the representatives themselves, not their underlings, not staffers, because that's an issue. I mean, that's a whole separate discussion. James P. Hill, third house, fourth branch, back in what, 1986? I recently dug out my copy. I have mentioned for more than a decade that I called the John Marshall Law School to see if I could get a paper copy. And I was told when I called, and this was, gosh, I don't even remember. It was like 2008, I want to say. I was told that they were sending me the last paper copy they had available. So that was sobering. I'm the custodian of the last paper copy available of that issue of the John Marshall Law Review, apparently volume 19, issue 2, I think, or is, what was it? I have to look. Anyway, I have that paper copy from 1986. I almost wanted to say, no, that's okay, don't send it to me. But then I thought, well, how many other people? I mean, R.J. Pastrito, maybe I could send it to him or somebody like that. Speaking of that, Hillsdale has an interesting video, you know, and they keep talking about the progressive era and progressive folks and how progress is actually regress, which echoes what Victor Gill was saying and what we played yesterday, which is what I've been saying, you know, this understanding the new world order. It's just, it is, they call it progress, but in esoteric inverted form, they're telling you only backwards. So progress is actually going the other direction, through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole. So Pastrito is over at Hillsdale College, obviously, and he's the author of that, Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government. I think everybody should read that. Anyway, James P. Hill told us in the third house versus the fourth branch about the two unelected congressional, or the unelected unaccountable bureaucracies, unelected congressional committee staffs, and unelected regulatory agency officials. And when you read that, it's astonishing. But then when you realize that, you know, you watch the 60 Minutes piece about Big Pharma, for example, and they're using those people as little proxies, little puppets to talk to each other so that they can say, we didn't talk to each other directly, even more astonishing. If that makes sense, hopefully it does. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.